Today we are going to start into our discussion on the first of the spiritual disciplines we'll be addressing in an effort to grow our being with the Lord. As one of the three essential elements of being a disciple, the going, the being, and the doing, we're now going to focus on being through the spiritual disciplines, the first of which we're going to talk about is prayer. And just before we dive into that, I want to let you know how we aim to spend the most of our time during our study. We'll spend the most amount of our time looking at scripture and specifically biblical practices and how they're described and exampled in scripture of each of the spiritual disciplines. We'll spend a little less time, still some time, but about the post-biblical church practices that may also be helpful to us. How has the church historically practiced these disciplines? How have you practiced these disciplines? And we can have some discussion about that. But I want to weigh it all a little more heavily on what the Bible actually teaches about it, okay? Secondly, I'd like to say, let's not overcomplicate these things. For instance, with prayer, we already all pray to some extent, and God is pleased to hear from his children, okay? There's no correct formula that we have to go by to pray. The goal in prayer is to foster our relationship with God. The goal isn't to practice the discipline correctly, it's to relate to and with God, okay? So this study is not meant to dry us up, but it's meant to cause us to drink really of the living water. And I pray that we'll walk away with some very practical steps that we can grow in all of these different practices. And it will really help us just to open our sail to the Spirit of God dwelling in us, to fill us with his life as we learn to be with him. So the first topic, the first spiritual discipline we want to discuss is prayer. So first we'll just ask, what is it? What is prayer? Stop and take just a minute to think about that in your mind. What is prayer? What does that mean to you, that term prayer? A lot of people would probably say it's talking to God, right? I think that's a pretty good definition of prayer. Directly addressing God in word or in thought, right? Maybe in singing too. That can be a type of prayer. Prayer isn't only a Christian term. Okay, so those who would have heard that in the time of the early church in the first century or before that in Greek or Hebrew in their languages, Aramaic, they would already understand this concept of prayer when the biblical writers or communicators would use it. It was a request or a communication to a superior, and usually that superior being divinity. So the Israelites and the Christians use that word to talk about how we communicate to God. And even other religions, to some extent, use that word prayer of how they communicate to whoever their God is. So it already has meaning, prayer, before we even try to impose a Christian meaning on it, though we will be looking at the Christian meaning of it in this study. We're going to talk more about another discipline which could be called hearing from God. But the direction of prayer is Godward, okay? We have the anticipation when we're praying of hearing from him, but prayer, specifically as the Bible uses the term, it's humans speaking to God, okay? So the language used is that in scripture, so-and-so prayed to the Lord. It's never they prayed with him, and certainly the Lord doesn't pray to us. Prayer is primarily, the proper version of it is our speaking to him, okay? Now, clearly, we can see in Scripture, God also communicates to us, which we'll talk about, but the Bible just doesn't call that prayer, so we're going to be focused on prayer proper. Now, it's okay if you said, in your definition of prayer is a conversation with God. It's okay if you want to think of prayer that way, but it's really the communication from us to God that the Bible calls prayer. And so that's what we're going to be talking about in the next couple of weeks, at least. We'll discuss later then how God speaks to us, how we can hear from him. But prayer proper is addressing God, which, let me just say, how crazy is that? That we can talk to God. We ourselves, these little ants crawling around on this giant earth can speak to the one who created it all, the one who holds it all together. God, even as I'm speaking this right now on this microphone and in this computer camera, God hears me. God, you are hearing me right now as I speak. I can speak to you at any moment. You don't hang up the phone, but I can talk to you, God. How incredible is that? I just can't hardly believe that I'm doing that right now. I'm talking to God. So cool. Prayer, talking to God. We should not take that for granted. Secondly, I want to address, to whom do we pray? To whom? Obviously, we pray to God. Are we praying to the Father, to Jesus, the Son, or to the Holy Spirit? Maybe answer that in your mind. When you are praying, are you usually, in your mind, in your heart, addressing God the Father? Are you addressing Jesus? Or are you addressing the Holy Spirit? Or are you addressing the Holy Trinity, the Godhead? Would you say, yes, I'm addressing all of them? When you practice prayer, when you pray, maybe do you start your prayer with Father, such and such and such? Do you say, Jesus, would you help me with this or that? Do you say, Holy Spirit, would you fill? Who is it that you pray to? Again, biblically speaking, okay, that's what we're just kind of surveying scripture. In general, we pray to the Father. But we pray to the Father through the Son and by the Spirit, or in the Spirit. To the Father, He's the direction of our prayer. He's the one we're praying to. We pray through the Son. Jesus is kind of the mediator of our prayer. He gives us access to the Father. We approach God the Father on the basis of Christ's righteousness. We pray in His name or on His behalf, but we're praying through the Son, through that, our ability to have relationship with the Father through the Son, and we pray to the Father, and we pray in the Spirit, okay? The Spirit who is in us. We pray in the Spirit at all times, Paul says. The Spirit, I like to think about it, kind of makes us related to God. Galatians 4:6, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Prayer, right? Talking to God, it's the Spirit in us that makes us His sons and daughters, that we could cry out to Him, Abba, Father. He's our real Father. The Spirit makes us related, in essence, to God the Father, that we can cry out to Him and present our request to Him. Romans 8:26 says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Do you ever find yourself not knowing what to pray or how to pray? Well, that's okay, because the Holy Spirit is helping us. It's like He is within us, interpreting our prayers and giving our prayers to the Father. So just think of that. Maybe when you pray in general, think of you pray before the Father, beside the Son, through the Spirit within you. So the Father's before you, the Son is beside you, the Spirit is within you. I like to think of kind of locking arms with Jesus as I'm approaching the Father, and it's His Spirit in me empowering my prayers. So you're speaking to the Father. Jesus has arranged the appointment, and the Spirit is giving you the words and the heart to say the right things to Him. Ephesians 2:18 says that through the Son, we have access in the Spirit to the Father. Okay, so I think Scripture kind of confirms how we approach God Himself. Now again, as I said at the beginning, I don't want to complicate our prayer life. Can we pray to Jesus? Can we pray to the Spirit? Well, He is in essence the same God, right? And so yes, we can pray to Jesus. We can pray to the Spirit. There's actually a few examples in Scripture of praying to Jesus. There weren't any examples that I can find of actually where the Bible uses the language of prayer to the Spirit. Again, I think the Spirit in the New Testament is now in us and prays through us. But can we pray to Him? Probably okay. There's examples of praying to Jesus when Stephen was being stoned. He cries out as he's about to die. He says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Jesus wasn't right there next to him. He wasn't talking like we talk to another human being. He was praying, and he was praying to Jesus. John says at the end of the book of Revelation, he says, come, Lord Jesus, right? He's praying to Jesus. He doesn't say, Father, tell Jesus to come quickly, but he prays directly to Jesus. So yes, of course, it's fine to pray to Jesus. Have you ever heard somebody pray something like this? Father, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, right? What's technically wrong with that? Father, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Well, the Father didn't die on the cross for my sins. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. So we may say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross, my friend. Father, thank you for seeing it fit to receive Jesus as a substitutionary sacrifice for my sin. But again, if you pray that, or if you hear somebody pray that, oh, you're talking to the wrong person of the Trinity. Like, do we think that God is going to be confused as to who we are talking to? The Holy Trinity is going to be like, oh, wait a second, you said Father, but Jesus, maybe he was talking to you. I'm not sure what's going on. No, God is not going to be confused. The Holy Trinity can figure it out, and we don't have to split hairs trying to decide, you know, or thinking too much about who we're praying to, though it might be helpful at times. But in general, again, just we pray to the Father through the Son by the Spirit. I did a survey of biblical prayers, all the prayers in the Bible, and I asked, what do we pray about? What do people in Scripture pray about? What are we saying to God? If we're talking to the Father, what are we addressing him about? Maybe you can come up with some broad categories of the types of things that we address to the Lord. I know a lot of you probably have heard the acronym Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, Supplication, ACTS. Okay, I think those are great categories. And honestly, as I look in Scripture, it's like most everything that people pray fit into adoration, confession, thanksgiving, or supplication, ACTS. I think that's a great way to think about the things that we bring to the Lord. One that I might add in there is lament. There's quite a bit of lament in Scripture. We'll talk about that in just a second. So first, adoration and praise, what we bring to the Lord in adoration. This is declaring who God is. God, you are this. Your character is this. It might sound like you are holy. You are mighty, God, faithful God. Your steadfast love is great. Who, O God, is like you? We hear these types of prayers. That's a third of all the praying that we see in Scripture has that as the topic, just adoring God for who he is. Now imagine any other relationship that you're in, if 33% of the time you were telling that person what you appreciate about their character. Wouldn't that build that relationship? Wow, I would really respect and admire that person a lot more, and our relationship would be so much stronger if I would just acknowledge more of who they are. And that's what many of the biblical prayers do. They acknowledge God for who he is, and they worship him with their prayers. They adore him. And man, do we do that? Another content of prayers is thanksgiving, which is maybe similar. And I think about 15% of the prayers, it's hard to categorize and come up with an exact number, but somewhere around there, 15%, is people praying to God, acknowledging what God has done, okay, in creation, in deliverance, in provision. It oftentimes sounds like, God, thank you for dot, dot, dot. I will give thanks to the Lord, we read oftentimes. Bless you, O Lord, for all that you've done, okay, is the way that those thanksgiving prayers sound. So just speaking of adoration and thanksgiving, just taking those two things that we bring to the Father, we're talking already almost 50% of what the biblical prayers are bringing to the Father. Are our prayers reflective of that? Is anywhere close to that? Or are we just, God, I want this, God, I want this, God, would you do this, would you do that? Okay. Now, there are things that are asked for, and there's other topics of prayer just besides thanksgiving and adoration. Confession or repentance. That's probably 5 or 10% of the biblical prayers. This is admitting my sin and kind of pleading to the Lord for mercy. It might sound like, I have sinned, Lord. Create in me a clean heart. According to your great mercy, Lord, would you forgive. Okay? That's some of what we hear in the prayers of the Bible. Then lament. That's a category that doesn't fit into the ACTS acronym, but lament or complaint. We see a lot of this in the Old Testament. This is voicing pain to the Lord. Lord, I'm confused about this. I'm in distress. I'm protesting about a situation to you. I'm trusting you, but I'm saying I don't understand. I don't see this. The words that some of the biblical writers use in English are, how long, O Lord? Or my enemies, they pursue me, they overtake me. Or I am being brought low. Or God, why have you hidden your face? All of these questions, many of the questions that we bring before the Father are maybe categorized as lament. And that's probably another 15%. And then finally, the last quarter or so of the prayers, 25%, are the actual asking, the petitioning, or the interceding for other people, asking God to do something on behalf of somebody else. That we might ask him for guidance, we might ask for deliverance, we might ask for provision, okay? It sounds like, God, would you give us this? God, would you grant us this? Would you deliver me? Would you help? God, would you remember? Okay, are some forms of petition and intercession. Not every time that we pray will we include all of those categories, right? Sometimes it's just a quick prayer of petition. God, help me in this. Sometimes it's, God, I thank you for this. In just a brief instant, we don't go through adoration. We don't go through confession, right? Or maybe we have a quick moment of confession. It's not always all of those things. Most of the prayers in Scripture highlight just one or two or three or four of those things, not necessarily all of them. But how does that line up with your prayer in general? Do you pray all sorts of things to the Lord, or are you generally just doing kind of one or the other? I think we can learn from Scripture by those categories what we might actually pray for. For me, it's helpful to kind of think of a car. You have the front wheels of adoration, we'll call that on the driver's side, and thanksgiving on the passenger side, those front wheels. And that's a front-wheel drive car, okay? Those wheels are doing a lot of the work. They're the ones that actually kind of lead our prayers and pull us forward, our adoration. That's, God, I'm adoring you for who you are, just who you are. And then thanksgiving, God, I thank you for all that you have done. Look at what I've seen you do these things. It's incredible, okay? And then following behind those wheels, maybe following behind, God, you are this, in adoration, is confession. It's that rear driver's side wheel. God, I see that you are this, and then I have to acknowledge that I am this, and I just confess this before you. Lord, you are holy. These are the ways that I've fallen short, that I've missed the mark. I confess those things to you, Lord. It might not be as much time that we spend there as in adoration, the one that's really pulling the car, but it follows that adoration of the Lord. And then maybe in a similar way, what follows our thanksgiving, God, I look around and I'm thankful for all the things that you've done. It's incredible. I thank you, Lord. We follow that with lament. God, I look around and I don't understand. Like, I'm not sure why you're doing what you're doing. It's hard maybe to give thanks for those things that we're lamenting. But you see, if we lead with thanksgiving, maybe that's more of our prayer life, but sometimes we just don't understand, and we can bring that before the Lord as well. So all of those things, adoration and thanksgiving on the front, confession and lament on the back, I think help frame or build the car for the actual request that we bring to the Lord. Does that make sense? Like, heavy on the acknowledgement of who God is and what he's done, and then also realizing who I am. I'm not perfect, and I don't have it all figured out. I have a limited perspective. And in light of all of those things, here, God, is what I want to bring before you, and what I'm asking for, what my petition is for myself and for other people. I believe that when we pray robustly like this, then we begin to ask for the right things, okay? It frames a prayer that is pleasing to God, that God longs to respond to as we have asked. Again, using that car analogy, it's sometimes we deliver our request on a three-wheeler, right? Or sometimes it's on a motorcycle. We don't necessarily have all of those components. But it would be good over the course of our prayers, over multiple prayers, that we might include many of those things. The last thing that I just want to point out really quick is a bit of a shift from Old Testament prayers to New Testament prayers, if you look at them. This is maybe more a biblical theology of prayer. What shifts might you see? What's the differences that we see? First of all, in the New Testament, we see even more adoration and even more praise and even more thanksgiving. That ramps it up to far over 50% of the prayer, that adoration and thanksgiving. Why? Maybe it's because there's a change of relationship, right? In the Old Testament, God is addressed as Yahweh God, the Lord. He's the Almighty Creator God. He's the covenant-making God. When you address God, you rarely, I think maybe only three times in the Old Testament, he's addressed as Father. That was extremely rare. But in the New Testament, God is addressed based on what Jesus says to do, primarily as Father. Most of the New Testament prayers are talking to God as Father. And that's just reflecting this new kind of intimate relationship. It's made possible by Christ. And so we have much to praise God for. God, you are my Father. And I just want to acknowledge that. And so there's this increased amount of adoration of the Lord. There's this increased amount of thanksgiving in New Testament prayers, I think because we realize, hey, we have this completed work of Jesus now. We have even more reason to be thankful for the works of the Lord than even the Old Testament saints had. And I suppose the longer we live, the more we will have to give God thanks for. So maybe our percentage of thanksgiving should increase more and more. In the New Testament, there's a little bit less of the lament and complaint. And it shifts really from why God to how to endure through the difficult situations. Maybe the New Testament writers were more familiar with Job and they learned, hey, you don't always get to know why. You can ask your questions, but sometimes we're not necessarily going to know the why and have those questions answered. In the Old Testament, you see this high volume of direct kind of complaints really against God's seeming inaction. You see this focus on personal suffering and illness and injustice, and God, why have you forgotten me? And that kind of, what was it, 15% of kind of lament prayers. In the New Testament, we see very little of that. There's just, there's acknowledgement of suffering, right? But the focus shifts to, Lord, would you help us to endure? Would you help us to find joy in this suffering? Would you help us to find hope in the midst of suffering, not just, why are you doing this, God? Change my circumstances. So there is a significant shift there as well in the New Testament prayers. And then in confession and repentance, we see a little bit less of that in the New Testament. Maybe the Holy Spirit is helping us so much that His work in us, like we're being sanctified. It's not so hopeless. God, I've done it again. I've sinned again. I've sinned again. I've sinned again. But it's, God, I see that you're changing me, and I'm thankful for that work that you're doing in me. And then, of course, there's the requests of God, the petitions. In the Old Testament, it was heavily focused on the physical security of Israel, the victory over literal flesh and blood enemies of Israel, deliverance from literal famine and plague all around. They're asking for the literal restoration of David's kingdom and Jerusalem. In the New Testament, it's focused less on temporal things, but more on spiritual or eternal things. Paul prays a lot for the spiritual growth, the internal transforming and growth of the believers. He focuses on praying for the church for wisdom and knowledge and spiritual strength, and that they would understand God's love, and that God would give them boldness to preach the gospel, a shift from kind of temporal things to spiritually focused prayers we see. So there is a shift, there is a change when you go from Old Testament prayers to New Testament prayers, before and after Christ, before and after the giving of the Holy Spirit. So there's less asking God for circumstances to change and more, God, would you change us? By your Spirit, would you change us? And rightly respond, help us to respond to what comes our way. It's less about escaping what's going on and more about just laying down our lives in submission to the Lord. And I think it makes sense. We better understand, if you think about it, the resurrection and eternal life than Old Testament saints. Like, we understand that more clearly. We understand that it's okay that things don't always go my way in life, because God uses suffering to refine us and to glorify himself through us, right? We learn with Jesus to say, hey, if you will, this is what we're asking, but not my will, but yours be done. And then Jesus suffered and died. And so we expect to kind of follow in those steps. So we pray differently. We see the world, we see eternal life differently and with more understanding than Old Testament saints did. We learn with Paul to say, it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. You should suffer for his sake. So the categories of prayer that we talked about can be found in Old and New Testament, but we shouldn't forget that life is very different for us now as New Testament believers. Now that we understand the death and the resurrection of Jesus, that although we too will die, we will live again. Now that we understand that we have the Spirit now dwelling in us to help us in our weakness. Now that we understand God is our Father who cares for us like a father his children. And we have so much to be thankful for. So prayer is different now. Somewhat the same, but somewhat different. And I think it's worth considering that shift from Old Testament to New Testament. So I want to encourage you, we're going to have more to talk about with prayer, but I want to encourage you to begin to pick a couple of things to grow in your practice of prayer. Okay? And like with all of these topics, these spiritual disciplines that we go over, challenge yourself to grow in these things. Challenge yourself maybe in prayer to pray more robustly. A-C-T-S-L, right? Lament. And maybe in those, think about the car, load up your prayer with adoration and thanksgiving, your prayers, and be disciplined to not just begin to ask right away, but to front load your prayers with those things of adoration and thanksgiving. Maybe you need to include confession. Maybe you need to be real with the Lord and lament at times. That's kind of the humble posture that we bring before the Lord. I don't understand, Lord. My mind is limited. I can't follow what you're doing here, Lord. Or man, I'm sinful, God, and I have fallen again, and I need your help, okay? Maybe one thing that you want to lock in or out of this discussion on prayer is that maybe you aren't going to always ask for circumstances to change. Maybe instead you're going to ask God, change me, or give me endurance through this. Or maybe a spiritual prayer, not just change my circumstances, but would you give me boldness to preach the gospel? I pray, Lord, that I would understand, or that my friends here, my church members would understand your love, that their mind would be blown with the great love that you have. Maybe you'd consider, hey, this suffering that I'm walking through, Lord, would you help that to refine me? And I understand, Lord, that suffering precedes glory in your word. So I really would like for us, Javon and I would like for us to really practice these disciplines and make actual changes to our prayer life in this case. Remember, this isn't meant to dry us up. We're not going through the spiritual disciplines. That sounds very academic and kind of boring, but it's meant to help us to drink of the living water of God, of relationship with him. If all you ever do is ask God for things, you're going to have a dry relationship with him. But if you would spend time adoring him and giving thanks, you're relating to him as we were intended to relate to him. So consider your relationship with other people. How much closer would you be if you regularly took time to say, here are the things that I appreciate about you. Here are the things that I'm thankful for you. Wouldn't that grow that relationship with that person? They would love it, but it would also grow your relationship with them. Imagine if all you did was ask somebody for things. That's not a relationship. So start to pick some things in your mind, and we'll go through some more learning on this in the next week or two, that you actually want to practice, that you want to change in your practice of prayer. And I think we'll be rewarded for it with the well of living water.